Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Chayesara, page 106. We'll start from the beginning. Vayu Chayesara, Mea Shana, the Esrim Shana, Beshava Shanim. The life of Sarah was 127 years. Shnei Chayesara, the years of the life of Sarah. Matama Sarah Bekiras Arba, Yichavrin, Beretz Canaan. Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron in the land of Canaan. By Yavoy Avraham, Avraham came, L'spoid L'sarav L'v Kaisa, to eulogize Sarah and to cry over her. By Yochem Avraham Me'alpnei Mesa, Avraham arose from the face of his dead. By Yidabra B'nei Ches Lemar, he spoke to the children of Ches saying, Ger V'seishav Anoichi Imachem. I am a ger, I am an alien, and a resident amongst you. Tenuli achuz haskavri imachem, give me a plot, a burial plot of land amongst you, vekbra meisim ulafanai, and I will bury my dead before you. So on these words, ger v'soyishim anochi imachem, Abraham says, I'm an alien, I'm a stranger, and a resident. So usually if you're a resident, you don't call yourself a stranger. If you're a stranger, you don't call yourself a resident. So what was Abraham saying? So Rashi comments. Rashi first explains, Ger me'eretz acheres v'neshashavti imachem. I am a stranger from a different land, and I settled amongst you. U'medrash agada, the Medrash says that Avraham's message to the Bnei Ches was, Im teretzu hareini ger. If you choose, I will act like a stranger. V'imlav eya toshev. Otherwise, I will act like a resident, v'et leno min adin, and I will take it according to the law. For Hashem said to me, your children I will give this land. So what Avraham is saying to the Bnei Ches is, if you want, meaning if you want to sell me the plot for the burial, I will act like a stranger and I will pay you for it. If you give, but if you decide you're not selling to me, I will take it anyway. I will take it rightfully. It's rightfully mine to take. Why is it rightfully mine to take? Because Hashem already said to me, Azaracha etenes aretz azayis, to your children I will give this land. That's in Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem says to Avraham, I'm going to give this land to your children. If I'm giving this land to your children, how am I giving it to your children? I'm giving it to you first. And through you, then your children get it. Therefore, Avraham says to them, if you don't want to sell to me, I'm going to take it anyway. So if you want me to sell it to me and I'm willing to buy it and act like I'm a stranger, fine. Otherwise, I will act according to the din, I will act according to the law, and I will take it because it's right for, because I have the right to take it, for Hashem already said, this land will go to my children. So Rashi seems to be saying that Avram is saying to Bnei Ches, look, it's my land already. You really can't stop me from taking this. But if you want, I will act as if it's not my land.
Except the scene here is much more solicitous and not as confrontational.
Well, the point of Rashi is to say that Abraham was alluding to this.
Oh, rather than...
Meaning, Abraham says the words, Ger v'teishem anoichi imachem. Okay. Abraham is saying to you these words, I am a stranger who's come to live amongst you. Abraham chose those words because Abraham was saying to them, alluding to them, or maybe he said it straight out, but it's more alluded to in the Torah, that if I want to, I can take it rightfully. So that means that Abraham is saying, if Abraham is saying I can rightfully take the land because Hashem told me that he's going to give it to my children, that means already Abraham is saying, really the land is mine already, which is an interesting idea. It seems to contradict a different Rashi. Because if we turn back to Parshas... But then he has the right to say, I have a right. So why is he saying, I can take it according to the law? If it's not his now, it's not according to the law. So in Parshas Lech Lecha, we have to turn back. Okay, page 58. Look at page 58. And this is Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. It's five lines from the bottom of the page. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin. Vayihi Riv, And there was a quarrel. Bain Raye Mikne Avram, between the shepherds of the cattle of Avram, Uvin Raye Mikne Lait, between the shepherds of the cattle of Lait. Vaknani Vaprizi Azyeshe Baaretz, and the Knani and the Prizi were then living in the land. What was the quarrel about? So Rashi says, and this is on the left column, Rashi Pasuk Zayin, Fishayu Rayab Shalait Rishayim, Umar Mehemtam Besadasai Chayrim. The shepherds of Lot were wicked, and they grazed their animals in other people's fields. The shepherds of Avram were rebuking them to steal it. The shepherds of Lot were saying the land was given to Avram. He has no heir. Who's going to be his heir? Lot. Therefore, it's not Gezel. But the Torah writes, Vaknani of Aprizi Azoshe Baaretz. The kind of priests who were then living in the land, and Avram did not yet acquire the land. So the shepherds of Lot are saying, well, it's Avram's land. And Lot is only here, so we can go ahead and graze. The shepherds of Avram are saying, no, it's not Avram's land. And the Torah is testifying to their point. Vaknani, Vaprizi, Azar Shei Baaretz, the kind of priests who are then living in the land, Avram did not yet acquire it. So we seem to have a contradiction here. Here Rashi cites the Medrash that says that Avram didn't yet acquire the land. And in our parasha, in Parashas Chayisara, Rashi is saying, Avram said, he has acquired the land. So much so that if he wants to, he can take Maaret HaMachpelah on his own. How do we answer this contradiction? Before I offer you some explanations, the Ber Yosef, who deals with this question, you know, brings out this point there are other places in the Gemara that also strongly imply that Avraham already did own the land of Eretz Yisrael. So he cites a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about the pasuk in Devarim that it says Vashareim Tisrefun Ba'esh. You come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to destroy all the pagan forms of worship of the Canaanites. And the pasuk says, "Va'asherayim," and Ashera is a tree. It's a tree that they worshipped. You have to burn their trees. They're trees that they worshipped. Now, why are you burning the trees? Because they were idols. They were things that were worshipped. And if there were things that were worshipped, you have to destroy them. The Gemara says, "But wait a minute, michti yerushi lahem avaseim, v'nadam oisa davar she'ena shalai." This is the land of Israel is an inheritance from their fathers, and another person cannot make what's not his forbidden. Rashi there explains, Michli ha'aretz v'chala mechubar lo yerushas for Yisraelim avaseyem. The land and everything connected to the land is an inheritance of the Jewish people from their forefathers. Sherei la'avraham nema ki locha et nena. To Avraham who has said, I will give the land to you. The Goyim Shabbat Achri came, the nations that came afterwards, should not have the ability to make them forbidden by bowing down to them. Meaning, the Gemara is saying, if the Pasuk says you've got to burn the Asherah trees, why is that? Because by being worshipped, they became idols. And if they're idols, they're forbidden to have benefit from, they're forbidden to leave around, you've got to destroy them. But the Gemara says, but that shouldn't be true. The land was given to the Jewish people because it already was owed because it was given to Avram. So it was the land of the Jewish people. Those Canaanites who bowed down to the trees, they were bowing down to something that's not theirs. It's not their tree. It's the Jewish people's trees. So they shouldn't be able to make them forbidden. Why does the Torah say destroy them? The Gemara gives its answer. We won't have to get into the answer. But the point is, though, from the Gemara, it's pretty clear that the land already belonged to the Jewish people before the Jewish people came to conquer the land of Canaan, because Hashem had told Avraham, "Lachat nena, I will give it to you and to your children."
So why didn't Avraham just tell them, go away, it's my land? Why did he need to buy it and bow to them? He next line is...
Well, why did he even offer to buy it?
Right.
Okay, let's get there, okay? But I just want to say, so here is another... You know, source that pretty strongly says that the land already was given to Avraham. It was his land. There is another Gemara in Sanhedrin where this is really taking place at the end of Parsha Shmos. Moshe and Aaron go before Paro. What does Paro do? He makes the slavery even worse. And Moshe says, Hashem, why did you send me? So in Parshas Vayera, Rashi brings down a Gemara that Hashem says to Moshe, Chaval al da'avna v'lo mishtakhin. You know, where Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is told to speak, bemoans those who have already passed on. Many times they appeared to Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and they never questioned me like you are. For example, Amarti la'Avraham kumis aleich ba'aretz. I said to Avraham, again in Parshas Lech Lecha, arise, walk through the land, la'arko la'rachba, by its length and its width, ki lecha et nena, because here I will give it. So Hashem says, I told Avraham, go and traverse the entire land, because I'm giving it to you. Bikei shmakam likbar asara v'lo matza. He wanted to find a place to bury Sarah, and he couldn't find one. At Shekana Medalad Meir Shekel Kesef, until he had to spend 400 of the highest currency around. And he didn't complain. He didn't question. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, were questioning. So what's the example when Hashem brings how Avraham didn't question, even though he had what to question? I told Avraham, to you I'll give the land. And now Avraham has a problem. He can't find a place to bury his own wife until he pays loads of boatloads of money. So let's think about this, right? If the land didn't belong to Avraham yet, then what's the point that Hashem says, to Avraham, I'm going to give it to you, and now he has a hard time finding a better place for his wife? It's not his land. Well, what does he want? It's not his land. What's the big complaint? Again, the Gemara would seem to be saying that it was Avraham's land. And therefore, because it was his land, he really had the right to take the land, but it wasn't happening. He had to pay 400 to Shekel Kesef, over La Seicher, to get the piece of land.
And he had the reason to complain.
So why would he be complaining? Now, I've always kind of thought that what this Gemara could mean is something like, well, you know, if Hashem already promised it's going to be yours, can't he be said to speak nice enough and give my wife a burial place? But that's not the more fundamental way to learn the Gemara. The more basic way to learn the Gemara is that it really is Avram's land, and that's why he had a real that's why he should have had a real complaint, and he didn't. And then the Bar Yosef brings another Gemara, Baba Basra, a similar Gemara. Shomar Satan Wakadosh Baruch Hu, that the accusing angel, the Satan, said to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shalaylam Shatati Bachala Eilam Kulai. He says that Satan said to Hashem, I have traveled through the entire world. Vlemetzasi Neman Ka'avdacha Avraham. I find no one more loyal for you than Avraham. Shalar Talayim Kumasalech Ba'aretz Arkal Rachba, Kilachat Nena. You told him, walk through the land, the length and the width, because I'm going to give it to you. And still, when he had to find a place to bury his wife, he couldn't find a place until he paid 400 shekel kesef, and he didn't complain. So he already got two gemaras that seem to be strongly, strongly implying that the land was his already. And because it was his, he really could have been wondering, you know, why do I have to go through this trouble? And he didn't. So that's really, we have another two sources that would strongly convey that the land already belonged to Avraham. Well, if it did already belong to Avraham, then why were the shepherds of Avraham saying to Lot, you can't let your animals graze on the land? Avraham didn't acquire yet. How are we going to rectify that? So the Bar Yosef's approach is the following. The Bar Yosef says, we have to really look here at what's happening. We have to take Parshas Lech Lecha and go through it and look at the promises that Hashem made to Avraham. So, for instance, when Hashem says to Avraham, look on page 56. Page 56, this is Pasuk Zion, previous parak. Vayera Hashem al Avraham, Hashem said to Avraham, appeared to Avraham, I'm sorry, Vayimer, and he said, Lazaracha etainas ares azais, to your children I will give this land. This is promise number one. To your children I will give this land. Later on, in Perek Yud Gimel, look on page 60. which is the pasuk that we just mentioned before, page 60, pasuk Yud Zayin. Kumis aleich ba'aretz, arise, walk through the land, la'arka la'rachba, along its length and its width, ki lecha etnena, for I will give it to you. So in the first pasuk, it says, I will give it to your children. And in this pasuk, he says, I will give it to you. So the Bar Yosef wants to say that when Hashem said to Avram, I will give it to your children, and he didn't say, I will give it to you, at that point, it was a promise for the future. At that point, since Hashem never said to Avram, at that point, I'm giving it to you, he never said, I'm giving it to you. He said, I'm giving it to your children will eventually get it. But at that point of time, Hashem is not giving him the land yet. But now, when he says, Ki lecha etnena, I'm giving it to you, at this point, this is where Hashem is giving it to Avram. At this point, Avram is becoming the owner of the land. Not only is he becoming the owner of the land because Hashem is saying to you, I'll give the land, Hashem actually tells him to do something. Walk through the land. Walk along the length and the width. He's actually telling Avram to do something that so to speak, that symbolizes or actually seems to be completing this promise to him. You walk through the land because I'm giving it to you. You should do this act that is, so to speak, can't find the right word, but this word that's finalizing in some way or concretizing this statement.
But at least in English, it's still future tense. He doesn't say, I am.
That is true. You're right. That is a good point. But that question is a question no matter what.
Well,
according to any, it's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer exactly is. I mean, in this sense, you could really answer and say, for Hashem says to Avram, get up and traverse the land, because to you I will give it.
Right.
Now, if traversing the land is the means how Avram acquires it, so then he's saying, go through that because I will give you the land. Now, once you mention that, I have to mention the Gemara of Baba Basra. If I were to sell you a piece of land, one of the forms one of the acts of acquisition, the kinyan, the act of acquisition that I do on the land to make it mine is called chazakah, where you do something to take hold of the land. So there is a machlekes in the Gemara, if you basically walk through that piece of land or walk around that piece of land, is walking around the land considered an act of chazakah to acquire the land? So one opinion of the Gemara says, look, that's what Avraham did here. Avraham was told to walk the length and the width of the land, kilachat nena, because I will give it to you. So you see from here that walking through a piece of property, along a piece of property, is a form of acquiring it. The Chachamim, meaning the majority opinion there, is that no, that halicha, walking, is not enough of an act of chazakah, of taking hold. So why did Hashem tell Avraham to walk through the land? The Gemara says it was because of Hashem's love for Avraham. He told Avraham to walk through the land because his walking through the land would pave the way that his children would be able to conquer the land easier. Avraham's act would be a sign for the future that as Avraham walks through the land, his children will walk through the land. They'll be able to easily conquer it. So, according to the Chachamim, you don't see from here that Avram did an act of acquisition. But the Bar Yosef wants to say that even the Chachamim, who don't say from here you can learn an act of acquisition, they can still agree that in essence, when Hashem says to Avraham, I'm giving it to you, that's enough for Avram to become the owner of the land. Why did he tell Avraham to walk through the land? As a precursor for his descendants. But the Bar Yosef wants to say that at first, when Hashem does it, until before Hashem says to Avraham, I'm giving it to you, it's not his land. But once he says, I will give it to you, then it does become his land. Therefore, this pasuk where Hashem says, I'm giving it to you, comes after the episode with Lot. It's after the quarrel, and Lot leaves. Now Hashem says to Avraham, I'm giving you the land. before he never said that to Avram, which means before he hadn't given it to him yet. So at that point of time when the quarrel was taking place between the shepherds of Avraham and Lot, and the shepherds of Lot were saying, no, it's already Avraham's land, they were wrong, because it wasn't yet his land. But by the time Sarah dies, and she needs a burial plot, at that point of time already it is Avraham's land. And therefore Avraham says, if you're not going to sell it to me, then I'm just going to take it, because I have the right to do so. So that is how the Ber Yosef approaches this contradiction. Now, we still have to explain, as Boris has been asking, why did Avraham offer to buy the land when it actually was his? So I'm going to tell you what I think could be an answer. Then I'll tell you what the Ber Yosef says. The answer that I would suggest, and I'm saying this because of the fact that I think we're going to need this later, is that Avraham understood that if he just takes the land, someone's going to get up and say, he stole that piece of land. Someone's going to say he stole that piece of land. Because at the end of the day, it's Avraham's land. But who's living on it? The Canaanites were living on it, right? That's the bottom line. They were living on it. So if Avraham walks over and says, you know, it's mine because God said it's mine, all right, those people may respect Avraham and let him take it. But down the line, down the road, someone's going to get up and say, no, it's not yours. Which we see happens. And I think even the Medrash says that Avraham made sure to buy the land even for the highest price because he wanted to make sure that no one should come back and complain. So Avraham decided to buy the land because, you know, to the B'nai Ches, he's saying, look, I know you're living here, so I'm willing to buy it. Avraham's real reason for doing it could be because he wanted to make sure that down the line, no one should get up and say he stole the land. So he bought it. He bought it like a regular sale.
Just have a legal piece of paper.
Right. Now, the Ber Yosef is going to say something similar to this, but the Ber Yosef has a big problem. And the big problem is like this. If we turn back, Parshas Chayisara, back to our Rashi on page 106. So that Rashi that we were reading, that we've been discussing, which is the Rashi on Pasuk Dalet Gever Toshav Anochi Imachem, on the top line of the column to the left. Umedrash Agada, Im Tirtzu Hareini Ger, if you want, I'll be like a stranger. The Imlav Eyet Toshav, if not, I will be like a resident. Vet Lenem and Adin, and I will take it rightfully. Shomer Li Hakadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem said to me, Lazaracha Etein Es Aretz Hazais, to your children I will give this land.
Why is he not quoting the second?
Ah, that's the question. That is exactly the Ber Yosef question.
Right.
He picked the wrong pasuk.
Right. Right.
According to the whole Ber Yosef's, answer is that first pasuk, that first time where Hashem says, I'm going to give the land, and he only mentions the children, not Avraham, it's not his yet.
Right.
So Avraham shouldn't have mentioned that pasuk, he should have mentioned the second pasuk, where he says, it's mine. That's where Yosef asks this question on himself. The Ber Yosef answers like this. The Ber Yosef says that the reason why Avraham didn't want to, so to speak, show his right to the land was because the B'nai Ches would say, it's your land? Really? We're all living here and we're in control. Like, God gave it to you? Where do you see that? So Avraham felt that if he's going to go ahead and he's going to use his right to the land, the B'nai Ches are going to say, there's something wrong here. Something not right here. Therefore, he took the first pasuk. He took the first pasuk that says, I'm going to give it to your children. Which really, Avraham is not conveying yet that it's his land. But if it's not his land, what does it mean, I'll take it rightfully? So the Ber Yosef says that what Avraham was saying was, look, Hashem promised it to my children. I have a child, Yitzchak. He's got to bury his mother like I have to bury my wife. If he is already supposed to be getting this land, or if my descendants are supposed to be getting this land, they should at least have a right, like a regular resident. Because, you know, if you were a regular resident amongst them, you got a plot of land. Problem is, Avraham wasn't a resident. Avraham says, look, you should be treating me and my son like residents, or my son like a resident, because it's going to be his land. And it's going to be my children's land. And because it's going to be my children's land, they should at least be treated like someone living there right now, at least for the point of getting a piece of getting a burial plot for his mother. That is how I understand Rabbi Yosef's answer. It's not a great answer. It's not a great answer. I mean, you know, again, it's not minadin. The point Rashi's wording is, Avram says, I'll take it minadin, I'll take it rightfully. It just doesn't sound that rightful just because in the future my children are going to get it, so already now they have a right. I mean, maybe it's not for me to question that. Maybe there is such a thought process in countries and in how people live there and stuff like that. It's a little troubling. It doesn't work out that well. You know, the answer itself is a very good answer. When you get to this point, it gets a little bit. It's not so clear. If we wouldn't be bothered by the fact that why he took this pasuk more than that pasuk, then we can just say that he's saying, look, you know, he's saying Hashem promised me the land. If my children get it, that probably means it comes through me. And why is he actually doing this? Why is he offering to buy it and not taking it minadin? Because what we said, he wants to make sure there's no complaints. He wants to make sure that everybody agrees that it's his piece of land. Okay. I want to share with you another explanation that's given to answer this contradiction. And I heard this answer on a shiur given by a Rabbi Yosef Greenwald from Eretz Yisrael. And he quoted a sefer called Beis Meir. Beis Meir is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And he seems to have some drashas, some comments on the Chumash. And I couldn't find it. I went to HebrewBrooks.org. I couldn't find it. I asked my father-in-law to go on the Etzer HaChachma. Couldn't find it. So I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying I couldn't find it. I couldn't see it inside. But this is the answer that he gave. And the answer that he gave is that in the Gemara we find that, let's say a woman brings in to a marriage a piece of land. It's her land. She inherited a piece of land from her father. She brings it into the marriage. Who's got control of that land? Her or her husband? The answer is that the husband has what's called the Kinyan The wife has what's called the Kinyan Haguf. Kinyan Haguf means the ownership of the ground itself, of the body itself. The body of the land belongs to her. But he has what's called Kinyan Peris. He has the ownership of the fruits. That means he owns the usage. And he's not just like when a person has a Kinyan Peris, it's not just like, you know, I mean, maybe it is in some ways. It's not just like I'm renting. It's a certain level of ownership. She owns the body of the land itself. The part of the land that I own is the usage of the land. That's how it gets split up. You know, in a more contemporary example, let's say a person owns a piece of land, and you know, let's say in a situation she doesn't have children. And therefore, when he passes on, who's going to inherit the land? His fifth cousin once his cousin five times removed. That's his closest relative. And he wants to give it to someone else. So what he can do is, when he's still alive, he can give the land to that person before he dies, and it's his land. But he still wants to live there. So basically, what he does is, he gives the ownership, the body of the land goes to this person, but he retains for himself the usage. So he can't throw him off the land, because as long as he's alive, he has a right to use the land. But once he passes on, and that person inherits the land, he inherits the usage of the land along with it. So the Beis Meir says, Avraham Avinu was given the land of Eretz Yisrael. He was. He was given the Kinyan Haguf. He was given the ownership of the land itself. But the usage of the land, the Kinyan Peris, the ownership of the fruits, the ownership of the usage of the land, the ownership of what comes out of the land, that was still by the Kananim. Therefore, when Avram said to the shepherd, Avram the shepherd said to Lot's shepherds, he can't graze the land, they couldn't graze the land, because who has the usage of the land? The Canaanim. Avram doesn't have a right to use the land yet. Okay. But in Parshas Chayisara, Avram is talking about a cemetery. You're not allowed to use a cemetery. If you have a king, you can't use a cemetery. If you have a piece of land that is designated as a cemetery, you can't decide I'm growing things on it. You can't use that land to graze your animals on it because it's a cemetery. That's the halacha of a cemetery. Avraham went after this piece of land, right, because it was meant to be a cemetery. As Rashi says, he knew that Adam and Chava were buried there. So if you follow that approach, this was already designated as a cemetery. And if it was already designated as a cemetery, they didn't have the ability to use that piece of land. So Avram says to them, hey, I own this land. This land is a designated cemetery. You can't use this land. And therefore, if I want to take it, I could take him in Adin. I could take it rightfully. I'm giving you a chance. I'll sell it to you. I'm willing to buy it from you. But if you're not going to agree, I'm going to take it rightfully because I can't take it rightfully. Because I have the Kenyan Aguf. I own the land itself. And because it's a cemetery, you don't have any kind of usage here. And therefore, I would have the right to go ahead and take this land. Why didn't he just take it? So perhaps, like we said, you don't want to just take it because of the fact that, you know, he didn't want anybody to come a different time and say, oh, Avram just stole the land. So he bought it. So there should be no questions. Therefore, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah works, right, that they shouldn't be able, the land belonged to the Jewish people because anything connected to the land is the land itself. So the trees are the land. So it doesn't belong to them. How can they make it forbidden? The Gemara Mavashra says, Avram is a great tzaddik. He owns the land, right? And he doesn't complain that it's so hard for him to get it. He wants to go ahead and take this land. He says to the Bnei Chais, I have a right to take this land if I want to. He certainly does. Because even though to graze on their land, he couldn't do that without their permission, because they own the usage of the land, but when it came to a cemetery, they couldn't use it. And therefore, Avram said, if I want to, I can take him and I didn't. I can take it rightfully because this belongs to me and you cannot use it.
It's interesting that he started not about the specific land which he knew would be, but sort of said, give me a piece of land for the burial.
But he knew what he was going for.
He knew, yeah, later because he points out.
He knew what he was going for. Right. Okay. So this is another approach. It's interesting when the commentaries take halachic concepts and they apply it to explain things in the Chumash. Excuse me? According, at least, you know, if you learn that it was called Maresa Machpelah because there are four couples buried there, Adam Chava, Avram Sarah, Yitzchak Rivka, Yaakov Leah, that means Avram and Sarah already were buried there. Adam and Chava already buried there. And that's why Avram wanted that piece of land.
So how did they own it? Ephraim.
Who?
Ephraim.
He was there. They lived there. It was the land of Bnei Chais.
By eminent, took it by possession.
Well, they were there, so to speak, yeah. I mean, the bottom line is they were there. So Avram says, look, I'm willing to treat you like you appear. But you gotta agree. Okay. Now, another thing that I'd like to speak about that relates to this part of the Parsha. No, it doesn't relate to this part of the Parsha, sorry. Okay. After Sarah is buried, we then have the episode of Eliezer finding a wife for Yitzchak. And Abraham tells Eliezer that you go to Canaan, you should go to Haran to find a wife for my son Yitzchak. Now, look at page 110. Page 110, Pasuk Hey. Avram says to Eliezer, go to my birthplace, to my land, take a wife for my son from there. Vayomer lo ha'eved, and the servant then said to Avram, ulai leisev ha'ish lechas acharai el aretz hazois. Perhaps the woman will not want to come after me to this land. Should I take your son there? And Avram says, no. She doesn't want to come. You're exempt. Now, when Eliezer meets Rivka, and he meets her father and brother, and he repeats the story, he mentions to this, he repeats to Besuel and Lavan this conversation. Take a look on page 116. This is Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Lamedtes, top of the page. Okay. Here, Va'imar Ladoini, Eliezer says, I said to my master, Ulai Leiselach Ha'isha Acharai, perhaps the woman will not follow me. Rashi points out something very interesting. The first, when Eliezer actually says this to Avram, on page 110, the word ulai is spelled aleph vav lamed yud, ulai. Here, the letter vav is left out. The pronunciation is the same, ulai. There's no letter vav. So Rashi says, this is the top Rashi, Pasuk Lamedtes on page 116, eliksiv. The way the word is spelled, it's spelled like the word Eli, which means to me. Bas Hayis Eloi Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. And Eliezer was trying his best to find some way to get Avram to agree for the possibility of Yitzchak marrying his daughter. And Avram said, no. So the reason why here it says Ulai, it's pronounced like there is a vav, but it's spelled Eli to me, is because here the Torah is alluding to the fact that when Eliezer was saying maybe she won't come, he was really trying to say, you know, how about considering us? How about considering my daughter for Yitzchak? So all the Mefarshim ask on Rashi, you know, why did Rashi say this here? Or why is it brought out here? You know, could have said Ulai without a vav there, and the same idea could have been brought out. That Eliezer was alluding to the fact that he wanted, when he said Ulai, he really said, I wanted her to come to me. Maybe perhaps to consider me. Why is it here that the Torah brings this out? Instead of bringing it out, when Eliezer actually says it, the Torah brings it out when he repeats the story. So I'm going to share with you two answers. One answer I saw brought down, I believe it's from, I think it's from Chaim Soloveitchik, maybe it's from Chaim Shmulevitz, but it's from Reb Nissen Kaplan of the Mir Yishuv Yerushalayim. You see, brings down Hagrach. I'm not sure if it means Reb Chaim Brisker or Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. But the answer they give is the following. That it's very strange that Eliezer repeats this part of the story to Lavan and Besuel. You know, when he actually is speaking to Avram and he's getting his directions, so there he can turn to Avram and say, well, what happens if she doesn't want to come? Okay? But if you're trying now to convince Lavan and Besuel to let her come, why are you saying that? Why are you saying to them, I said to my master, maybe she's not going to come? You don't say that when you're trying to convince them. For instance, a mushel he gives. There's somebody who sells retail and he always buys from a wholesaler, right? And he buys on credit and he pays back. And he always has this middleman who goes and makes the purchase for him. Well, this retailer decided that's it. He's stiffing the wholesaler. He's going to make a big order, and he's going to pack out of town. He's never going to pay him back. And he lets the middleman know his plan. Now, the middleman's kind of caught in the middle here. What's he going to do? You know, to go ahead and just, you know, it's hard for him to just go in and tell them what the plan is. So what does he do? He goes to the wholesaler, and he says, you know, so-and-so wants to make a big order from you. I told him, I don't think he's going to, I told him, I don't think you're going to agree. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing, what? Why wouldn't I agree? I'm trying to drop a hint. Right. Eliezer shouldn't be saying to them, maybe she won't want to come. Unless he's trying to do something. Unless he's trying to maybe, you know, convince them that he's trying to get them actually not to agree.
Place some doubt
that they wouldn't agree, and then he'll have a shot at his daughter. So the reason why the Torah brings it out here is because it's really at this point when Eliezer repeats it to Lavan and Besuel that we really see what his intention was, that he had this intention. That he had his intention, whether it was, whether, you know, we could say it wasn't, it was perhaps in the back of his mind, and it was influencing, when you know, he said it honestly, but deep down he really meant something else. And did Eliezer mean to be tricky here? And he didn't really mean to place, to have intentionally placed out? Maybe he didn't, maybe he may have thought he's just repeating the story, but deep down, you know, in the back of his mind, something else is working here and making him do this, which is to really try to get them to put down in their mind, and they should not agree, and they'll have a shot at his daughter.
But I must have missed something. So what's the significance of the missing letter?
The missing letter then has the word spelled as if it says a lie, which means to me.
Oh, I see, I see, I see. Okay.
Okay. Then another answer he brings down from the Katz Rebbe, that the point here is that the reason why the Torah brings it out here by Eliezer's repetition of the story is because it was at this point that Eliezer himself realized what he was doing. Meaning, when Eliezer first said, maybe she won't want to come, at that point Eliezer, you know, thought that he was saying it because he was just asking an innocent question. But after it's all over, meaning after he realizes his daughter doesn't have a chance, that's when he realized that when he asked that question of maybe she won't want to come, that's when he realized deep down what he really was trying to do there was, he was trying to get Avram to change his mind and go for his daughter. Meaning, when you have a certain degree of hope, you kind of don't want to admit to yourself that you're really trying to benefit yourself. So at that point you think, I'm just asking an innocent question. Later on, Eliezer realizes that question wasn't so innocent.
Yeah, but he could have messed up the deal.
We're working with a different approach. Okay. You know, we're here with an approach that the approach is that it's still a question. Why did he mention it? That's right. A good point. But the way the Katzke explains it is the difference before it, the before and after is that after Eliezer knows it's all over, right? This is the one, and his daughter is out of the picture. You know, after that already kind of, you know, after everything clears up, that's when he realizes, you know, I really wasn't being that sincere when I asked that question. Okay. Let's see what time it is. Okay, let's try to get one more in. At the end of the parasha, this is on page 120. Avraham remarries a woman named Keturah. And she bears to him a bunch of kids. And then the Pasuk says, this is again on page 120, and it's Pasuk Hey. Vayitain Avraham Eskola Shaloi LeYitzchak. Avraham gave everything he had to Yitzchak. Levnei HaPelak Shema Shirla Avraham Nasan Avraham Atanois. To the children of the concubines, Avraham gave gifts. Vayishal Chem Al Yitzchak Peroi Badenu Chai. He sent them away from his son Yitzchak while he was still alive. Kevel Eretz Kedem, to the east. Okay. So here Avraham has a bunch of kids, and he sends them away. The last time Avraham had sent away a child, which was Yishmael, we see that he didn't want to do it until Hashem told him, you know, listen to Sarah. So why here was he so quick to send them away? Why were he so quick to send these children away? So I saw an answer brought down from Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, that he said the following. And he brings it out in a very interesting way. There is a pasuk okay. This is on page 716. V'zacharti es berisi Yaakov, and I shall remember my covenant with Yaakov, v'af es berisi Yitzchak, and even my covenant with Yitzchak, v'af es berisi Avraham, and even my covenant with Avraham, eskar I will remember, v'aretz eskar I will remember the land. We know that the word es, anytime the word es is together with something, it means to include something that is not as it means to include something not explicitly mentioned. So, for instance, one of the famous ones is Kabed Es Avicha Vesimecha. It says Es Avicha Vesimecha, and the Gemara says the word Es is coming to include your older brother, your father's wife, and the Gemara says the word Es always means to add when it says Es. The word Es is together with a noun. It means to include something more than what has been explicitly mentioned. So Rav Huttner says, Es Brisi Yaakov, Es Brisi Yitzchak, Es Brisi Avraham. What is the S there coming to say? The Pasuk says, I have a covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But if it says S, then Hashem is saying, I have a covenant also somewhere else that's not mentioned, but related somehow. Says Rav Huttner, the S of all these are including the Emois, the matriarchs. Yes, there was a covenant with Avraham, there was a covenant with Yitzchak, and there was a covenant with Sarah, and with Rivka, and with Rachel and Leah. And what was their covenant? What was the covenant that Hashem made with them? What does Hashem want them to do? What's the special job that they do? The answer is that they protect the home from outside influences. A woman is called a choma, she's called a wall. A kala goes 7 times around the chasen. Why? Because that represents the wall she will be building around him. The wall that's meant to keep out all negative influences. I think he cites somewhere else the word choma that's used by a woman. A woman is the choma. She is the wall. A husband, a man, has to go out to the world. He's got to make a living. He's got to spread himself out. Her job is to make sure that although he goes out, that when he comes back home, everything is protected. There are no negative influences that are coming in. And even a woman who herself goes out to the world, it's her special power, her special love, that creates the protection around the house. When Sarah was alive, she told Avram, send them out. Avram wasn't happy with that. Hashem says, listen to Sarah. That means Hashem tells Avraham, Sarah is the one who knows how to decide who should be and who should not. She is the one that should be that decides what influences will be allowed in and what not. If she tells you to get rid of Yishmael, you have to get rid of Yishmael. Now, there's no Sarah. There's no Sarah. Avraham's wives were not Sarah. And therefore, Avraham on his own is going to come to the point when he knows it's time to send them out. But he's not going to go ahead and hesitate. He's not going to hesitate because he already learned from the first time that it's the power of the woman to decide. But at this point, he doesn't have her. So he has to now basically on his own figure out what would have Sarah done here? What would Sarah have done with these children? At what point would she allow them to stay? Would she not allow them to stay? When Avraham already understood when the point is to send them out, he sent them out without question. Because now he had had to decide what's the point of sending them out so they shouldn't have the negative influences on Yitzchak and on his family. But the point was he wasn't going to hesitate anymore because he already learned from Sarah. He already learned from Sarah that it has to happen. It's a need. You've got to do it. If need be, you got to do it. He didn't have Sarah to do it anymore, had to do it on his own. But he already learned from Sarah the need to do it. And therefore, he didn't hesitate when the time came to do it.
Do we hear anything about Bill?
No.
At all, this is it.
No. We have a problem. Ooh, did you shut it up?